So this film, I think it's fair to say, it's kind of the only thing on.
Yeah.
So well, we're kind of stuck a little bit on.
There was the Bob Marley film, but you were more in the mood for a bit of horror when we talked last week. So this is your fault.
It is.
Yeah.
I apologise in advance. It's going to be awful, isn't it?
Just So Jables.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Just So Jables Film Podcast with me, Jables.
Me, Arkid.
And me, producer Ben. I'm not joining in with that shenanigans.
Yeah. Once again, taking all the fun out of everything, Ben.
Yep.
Well, here on Just So Jables Film Podcast, believe it or not, we talk about films. And we give you our hot take straight after watching something brand new in the cinema, where possible. Sometimes streaming, sometimes retro reels. This week, we're going to be watching...
Imaginary.
Ooh, wonder who said that. But before we get onto that, we like to find out how wrong or right we got it the previous week, which was Dune Part Deux.
He did it.
I did it this time.
Yeah.
Our kid, how right or wrong were we on Dune Part 2?
So very favourable reviews. I'll read you a couple. The Independent gave it 5 stars and Clarice Lowry said it was a work of total sensory and imaginative immersion. The Washington Post, theirs just made me laugh. They said it was 166 minutes of brilliant casting and sand.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That was their sum.
That
review.
Was their headline okay. of it, but it kind of made me chuckle. Rotten Tomatoes, 93% critic score, 95% audience score, YouTube, all very favourable. One thing that I did find quite interesting, I found a Screen Rant article, and it made the point that Dune 2 is the Star Wars prequel George Lucas should have made. The point being that Paul Atreides at this point is more Anakin Skywalker than Luke Skywalker. And I thought, yeah, actually, that's quite a good point. I like it.
Okay. Piffy and kind of like doesn't really mean anything to me. But I often think about like the prequels. And I remember the hype when Phantom Menace came out and everyone absolutely loving the film. And then retrospectively not liking it because of certain things like Jar Jar Binks and stuff like that. They're still kids' films. They could have been better, but...
Ben, thoughts on Dune 2 or the prequels of Star Wars, if you like?
Prequels of Star Wars, no. apart from the fact they're probably all excellent films, but probably not as excellent as Dune Part 2. I think it's excellent. I still prefer the David Lynch original. I probably always will. Well, I definitely always will, but still excellent work.
Yeah, I stand by what we said last week. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to watch it again. Surprised I haven't yet, actually. But yeah, looking forward to watching it again. I still like the originals as well, and I think there's a lot to be said. You mentioned Star Wars before. You could technically say that the original Star Wars aren't as good technically as some of the newer ones. And because people sometimes forget that actually the effects were amazing at the time, but they dated quickly. And until the special editions and stuff like that really improved on that to make it look amazing, there's a big difference between it. But the story holds together. And I think, like Ben, I think the original Dune does still stand up to what it was. But technically, and maybe given more time to develop the story, these stand alone like that in a different kind of, not different story, but you know what I mean, just in a different way. So yeah, really good, really good. Our kid?
Yeah, good. I don't think there's much more I can add. I thought objectively it was a very good film and I still do and I look forward to seeing it again.
Maybe I want to see more guild stuff though.
Yeah. I want to see weirding modules, obviously.
Yeah.
I won't go on about it.
I want to see mini machines on Ix.
Mm.
Yeah.
Better than those on Richess, actually.
Yeah.
Ix machines.
Exactly.
Yeah. Got the new product catalogue through the door, actually, last week.
Did you?
Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Very heavy.
So, our kid, while we're rambling, why don't you tell us what people do about getting hold of us on the socials?
Well, they can get us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Just So Jables. They can email us, hello@justsojables.com.
They can find us in the park, drinking cider.
Yeah. We're down by the docks, out for business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just you.
That's late, just me.
A bit later in the week, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ben, what are you on about this week?
I'm on about the Marlowe murder... No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God, thank God for that.
I'm on about... It's a very random one. It's not a film. It's an old 70s creeping into 80s TV show. So, at Christmas, I think I might have mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, one of my sisters said, "What do you want for Christmas?" That's how she talks.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, I don't know. Just get me."
Because that's when how
I
you talk.
Yeah. When I'm in York, I say... "I don't know what I want for Christmas. Just get me a load of DVDs from charity shops." And one of the ones she got me was Yes Minister, Series 1.
Wow, nice. Cool.
Which I haven't seen for a very long time. I probably haven't seen an episode for 20 years. It's brilliant. I can't believe how good it is. Because some of these old things, they're a little bit wobbly and a little bit rubbish. And you have a sort of nostalgia for them. But this is just like, it just hits the ground running right from the pilot episode. It's so sharp and it's so well observed. And we were talking to some people about it the weekend, weren't we? And they were saying, yeah, they had actually been watching it recently as well, randomly. And they were saying all the stuff in it, like all the political stuff and all those sorts of characters, it's still perfectly relevant.
Yeah.
Like nothing's changed. It's all still the same red tape and ridiculous circular arguments and stuff like that.
It's like when you look at the thick of it now, it's still the same thing, isn't
it? Yeah.
So yeah, that's me. J-Balls, we're going clockwise. What are you on about this week?
What am I on about? Well, I have not... I don't think I've actually watched a single thing since our last podcast. I played a lot of Helldivers. Oh. Hi, Barney.
I hope that's a video game.
It is a video game, Helldivers 2. But apart from Marlowe Murder Mystery Club garbage, which we watched yesterday with Mum and Dad, which I wasn't a fan of, it wasn't terrible, but the Oscars were this weekend, last night. So I was just going to see what your thoughts were on some of the winners. I know there was a glaring omission that we spoke about at the time, which was All of Us Strangers.
Yeah. Travesty.
Yeah, weird.
Which didn't get any kind of look in, but I'll run through some of the highlights. Best live action short was The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. I don't know if you saw that. So did you see on Netflix, They brought out all those Wes Anderson directed short Roald Dahl stories?
No.
Okay. They're only like 20, 30 minutes long. And it's basically those stories, like The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, narrated to the camera, but also acted as well. It's kind of hard to explain, but in that sort of Wes Anderson style, got Benedict Cumberbatch and Ralph Fiennes, Voldemort, whichever one it was. Yeah, they're really cool. So yeah, best documentary short was The Last Repair Shop, which I didn't see. Best animated short, War Is Over. Have you heard of that?
No.
That was one inspired by John and
Yoko,
yeah.
Oh, blimey.
So putting a couple in together, best production design, best makeup and hairstyling, and best costume. They were all Poor Things, which we haven't seen.
I've seen the trailer, so okay. I can see why the visuals were.
That was where we had the vote between us, Poor Things and All of Us Strangers. So, yeah, but I do want to see that. It does look, I think Emma Stone won best actress for it as well.
Yeah, she did.
So that's good. Best visual effects. This is the shout out for us and our ones. Godzilla Minus One.
Yay.
I'm glad that got a nod there because it was definitely something in there. But you start to get on the big winner of the night was Oppenheimer. So you've got best film and editing, best cinematography, best original score, best director, Christopher Nolan, and best supporting actor was Robert Downey Jr. and Cillian Murphy for best actor. And
which also, we did see coming at the time.
We did kind of see coming at the time. And also, obviously, best picture on the back of that. So yeah, it wasn't a surprise. I don't think there were many surprises really here. Best supporting actress was Davine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers, which we didn't see. I got a mini review from Harley at work about The Holdovers, actually. She said it's actually really good.
I'd really like to see it.
Yeah,
so yeah, that was the one that was only matinee, wasn't it, in town?
Yeah. It's on Amazon now, but it's like £16 or something. Yeah, so I'll wait till it's a bit cheaper.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the little Oscars roundup for you. Anything to add to that?
No, it was all as expected, except obviously the Godzilla Minus One, which is the highlight for me.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
cool.
What are you on about then, Arkid?
Well, I was just going to briefly recap on Retro Reels. We're going to see Aliens.
Stepping on your toes there, Ben.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't mind.
We're going to see Aliens at the Corn Exchange on the 30th of March, which is Easter Saturday. If you've seen any of the artwork about town, you all know that there is an Easter reference in there. There's an Easter egg there for
literally.
You. It is starting to sell up, so get on the website. You can either go straight to the Corn Exchange website or go to JustSoJables.com/retro-reels and you will find a link to it. Hopefully we'll see you there.
You will definitely see me there.
You'll definitely see me there.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yes. It's only a couple of weeks away, really.
I know, it's not long, is it?
Yeah.
So on to this week then, I suppose. Our kid, what are we watching?
Well, we're going to see Imaginary.
We are indeed.
Which is a Blumhouse film that I don't know that we're that excited about, but I'll give you a little bit of a summary of, and we'll see if that draws any enthusiasm. So it stars DeWanda Wise as Jessica, who is stepmum to a young girl called Alice, who goes with her to the house that Jessica used to live in when she was young. Transpires that Jessica had an imaginary friend, which seems to be inhabiting a bear called Chauncey.
Not an actual bear.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Nice ad there. Yeah. But I'm not quite sure where the imaginary and actual teddy bear come together, but it looks like it's got the usual tropes. It's got the jump scares. It's got the creepy childlike music. It's directed by Jeff Wadlow, who directed Truth or Dare and also Kick-Ass 2.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. I thought that might leave some concerns. And if you've watched the trailer, it makes a lot of use of the Temptation song, Just My Imagination.
Okay.
Slowed down occasionally, obviously, as they have to.
Which we'll probably not hear in the film at all, because that seems to be what they do these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this film, I think it's fair to say, it's kind of the only thing on.
Yeah.
So well, we're kind of stuck a little bit on.
There was the Bob Marley film, but you were more in the mood for a bit of horror when we talked last week. So this is your fault.
It is.
Yeah.
I apologise in advance. It's going to be awful, isn't it?
Well, it's quite nice to watch something random that you don't know anything about, to be honest. I think we'll probably get into it a lot more afterwards. I know, was it Wonder Why? She was in Jurassic World.
Dominion.
Because I definitely recognised her. I had to look up because I recognised her in the trailer and I wasn't 100% sure. So it looks I don't know if it looks interesting or not. It could be played interesting. You never know with these kind of trailers because I guess these kind of trailers, they've got to appeal to get people in. It's not part of a franchise, so they've got to show quite a bit and make it enticing, so make it seem scary. But I wonder if it's going to be more psychological and a bit more, or if it's going to be on the action side of horror, if that makes sense.
Is it going to be like you're not sure what's real and what isn't real, or is it going to be like fighting a crazed teddy bear?
I got sort of Poltergeist, Drop Dead Fred, you know, Annabelle vibes. Kind of hoping that it's just not a moving bear like a Chucky style. I'm just hoping that it's interesting. I'd be more interested in it being an invisible entity than just in a bear. Because watching the trailer, it says it's from the producers of Mithrigan.
Which we liked.
Yeah, and what's it, Black Phone. And there was a couple of other ones. And I was like, I like all of those films. If it's as good as those, then it'll be a good watch, actually. Yeah. And it's fairly short. What was it, 110 minutes or so? No, 100 minutes, I think. Let me just check that. 144 minutes, actually. Sorry, Ben.
Oh, no.
No.
It's not short.
No, it's 1 hour and 44.
Don't do that to us, Jables.
Yeah. So 1 hour 44. It's a 15 certificate, so it's not going to be too crazy. Oh, that was it. Invisible Man.
Yeah.
That was the other one.
Was that an 18?
I think it was, because that was pretty nasty.
Because it was really tense. We watched it a second time quite late at night. And I couldn't get to sleep, not because it was terrifying in the visuals, but it makes you feel so tense that I then couldn't relax for ages.
We spoke about it, didn't we, on here?
It was like hidden loft for a while, which didn't help.
Yeah, yeah.
With a tin of paint.
Yeah.
And I guess that was good. It was good camera work that made that. So I'm open-minded. This could be interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not excited about it. I watched the trailer and I just thought, oh, it's just more of the same. It's one of those films that could have just gone straight to Netflix and would have been fine for a rainy Saturday afternoon, fancy a horror film kind of thing. But I think that DeWanda Wise looks quite likeable in it. I think she looks like an interesting character. And the kid, Alice, you know, she seemed quite sweet. And if you can relate to those characters and care about what happens to them, I get, like with Black Phone, one of the things that got us into it was that we really related to the kids. They could have been us when we were kids.
Yeah.
And we really worried about what was going to happen to them. And if we can relate to these characters in the same way and care about them, I think it'll be good. If they're just sort of shrieky and faux cute, it could just be an eye roller. But we'll see. We'll see how we get on.
Yeah, because it looks like from the trailer, so the kid is going to be being told or instructed to do certain things to achieve some kind of outcome. It feels like that's going to escalate. So it's going to start with quite innocent things like, I don't know, arrange a tea party
for
all the bears or whatever. And then it's going to start escalating into things which are dangerous or
creepy. Cut your fingers off kind of.
Yeah.
So that might be quite interesting. It also feels like they're trying to build some lore into it. So there's some characters who make
lore. Like Sam Winchester lore.
Yeah.
You mean sequels.
So some sort of maybe peripheral characters who know a little bit maybe about the background of what's going on, and they're going to be the wise, oh, well, I knew that was going to happen because of the piskies or the fairies or the whatevers. Either that's going to be interesting or it's going to be, it's just tacked on. Yeah, I feel reasonably positive about it. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
I want it to be a bit more than just a jump scare fest as well. I'll be honest, that's really what I'm after. Something clever, slightly intelligent, but also easy to watch and not just jump scares.
I think I'm more easy to watch, really. I want to come out just going, do you know what? I really enjoyed that. Yeah. That's what I fancy. I'm not massively hopeful, but we'll see.
Well, let's grab some tea and then go and see what we find.
Lovely. Yeah.
One way to approach this, by the way, if you're not that excited about it, is go through the whole film being on the side of the bear. There we go.
Thanks, Ben. I'll try and imagine that.
Please do.
Yeah.
Here comes Chauncey. He's behind you.
Let's go, Chauncey. And we're back from the Majestic. We've just watched Imaginary. Ben, why don't you tell us what we just witnessed? In the form of song?
Okay. Jessica, a children's illustrator and writer, returns to her childhood home in the suburbs with husband and stepdaughters Alice and Taylor in a bid to escape recurring nightmares. But the nightmare is about to get worse as Chauncey Bear makes a sinister appearance as Alice's new imaginary best friend. Or perhaps Chauncey is not so new after all.
I like it, Ben.
I do too. That's
good. You go. So, it was a horror film. Something which had a couple of twists in the story, which I don't think we'll give away. But we'll talk around them quite easily, I think. Why don't you start us off, our kid? Because I feel like I've got a few bits to say, but I think we'll start on a positive note.
Yeah, I'll give you my initial thoughts. I enjoyed it. I didn't have super high expectations, so I think it surpassed them. It was quite a simple, basic film, though, like you said, there were a couple of nice twists in there that I think did elevate it rather than just being, oh, what twists? I think they did actually work within it and made it more interesting. I liked that it held everyone's attention. It was quite a quiet audience in there, and that was quite nice. It was actually quite relaxing to sit and watch. There weren't people chatting and giggling and things. So that was a nice change from the last few weeks, I think.
Apart from, I think we'll say at this point, the sound of June.
That's true. Yeah,
very overpowering.
Yeah, there was some June bass throbbing through the walls, weren't there?
There were a couple of thumpers, couldn't we?
It was very loud. And even the music at one point.
Yeah, but to be honest, I'd obviously forgotten all about that.
I think we phased out of it as the film ran on.
So just as my overall view, I would say that I enjoyed it. Do you want to jump in at this point?
Should we go around the table?
Okay.
I'll give my instant reaction. It was better than I expected. A bit like you, our kid. The budget for this film was really quite small. I think it was about $10 to $12 million.
Okay.
Which is, I think, kind of peanuts in modern terms, isn't it, really? And I think they did pretty well for that. The performances were good. The cast was good. It wasn't super scary. It didn't all completely hang together. It was slightly humorous, which I thought was quite good, because sometimes these films can take themselves a little bit too seriously. But this one, I don't think did. You might disagree with me, but we had a few chuckles. Well,
yeah.
So I think it was a decent effort. That's my instant surmises. That's not even a correct word. But
my surmises, Ben, if you want them. I think, as you said, it was quite basic. I like how you said it was basic. You enjoyed it. But I actually think it was quite mediocre. I wasn't that engaged, really. I might sound harsh when I start talking about it. There were bits that I liked, and we'll get into those. But I think overall, I was a little bit disappointed. I found that where it gave in one part, it took away each time. And it sounds like I'm just trying to be piffy reviewery. So it's trying to be original. So it's an imaginary friend story. It had this kind of original ish story of it's an imaginary friend and coming back to the situation. But then it quickly fell back into horror film tropes of jump scares.
Creepy basement,
things popping up behind you, just out of eye line, not really being able to see what's going on. It had a nice twist, as we said, in the middle, which was actually quite good at that point. We were both like, ooh, this has made it interesting. And then it failed to do anything with it, in my mind. It didn't carry it forward. It felt like that was an opportunity to almost highlight how weird that was. But it was just like, this is a thing. And it's like, oh my God. And then it's like, okay, move on.
So it didn't elevate it enough?
No, I don't think so.
I thought it was fine.
It tried to let the story play out. It tried not to push everything in your face to a point. So, you know, you weren't sure what was happening with Jessica's story and the dad. and what was actually happening. But then at some point, it flips that switch and becomes, we need to tell you everything and we're going to have to explain everything and almost like try and explain how everything could possibly happen. Especially when Grandma Exposition popped up, as I like to call her. So, yeah, it tries to set its own rules because it's a newish story. It tries to set the scene and the rules of how things happen because of this imaginary world kind of background setting. But then it breaks those rules straight away. And everything it done good, I think it just kind of counterpointed all of that for me. And that's what I think that's what disappointed me. And I'm not looking for highbrow, high concept horror. I just want to be a bit more interested in it. And it did to a point, but it let me down each time. I don't, you know, like I said, it might sound harsh.
I can see those negatives, yeah. Like the grandma exposition dump. I think that could have been a really good character.
Yeah.
And it could have been someone who carried the story all, with them almost right from the beginning. But they just really popped up to do exactly that, to dump a few things on you, explain a few things, and then have various things happen with them later on that weren't explored well enough. And when we got to that final sort of third of the film, it was very much like the final third of a slightly mediocre Nightmare on Elm Street film.
Yeah.
That world that's slightly shifted from our own.
Yeah.
And we've seen that quite a lot. Yeah. And fine, use that, do that. And I think it was used well enough.
I don't think it could have been used.
It wasn't done well. Nah. It was done fine. It could have been done better. And I don't think it would have needed lots of money thrown at it. It just could have been slightly quirkier and more original. But as it was, I thought it was okay.
It did remind me of Dream Warriors.
It was a bit Dream Warriors, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was. And I don't think that in Dream Warriors is where it does it well. It does those bits well is in the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm.
Or I think of things like Nightbreed and stuff like that, where you have even Hellraiser, the good ones, where you've got that entering into this this world.
Leviathan, that kind of thing.
That kind of stuff.
Because I think Jessica was a Nancy kind of character
absolutely.
By that point, wasn't she?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but and they just kept her at that level. They didn't use it
didn't
in a more interesting way.
Yeah. Especially when you find out what you find out and you think this could be. And then it was like, and the lore, you know,
lore. They didn't really expand on it very much, did they?
And what they did with Granny's book, I mean, not being funny, it was really generic and a bit boring. I was just like, okay, it could be telling me anything. It didn't matter. Because it didn't matter to what actually happened afterwards or what had been happening beforehand. So I almost wanted her to be a nasty character.
She was the element that let it down the most for me.
Yeah.
But I sound now like I'm down on it, and I'm not, because I did quite like it, and I liked the Chauncey character,
if we can call it that.
And I liked the list and that build-up around and the purpose of you know, having that escalation of the game that they're playing. It was creepy.
Chauncey was cool. But it seemed like, and that was good. But again, everything behind that, when you actually see what it is just a bit kind of...
Mm. They didn't push it quite far enough, did they? Yeah. But the ordinary horror things in the house, for example, it was a bit generic, you know, the creaky stairs in the basement and that kind of stuff. But then there were other bits as well, like there's a scene with a teenage neighbour, a boy, in the house. And I really quite liked that.
Quite fun,
and I liked how that was done and how it ended as well. It wasn't just like a typical bloodbath. There was actually humour to it, and I enjoyed that. And there were quite a few little touches like that through the film that made it more than just a Netflix kind of horror. It was a little bit better than that.
I don't know if I have really anything to add. I mean, I accept all the points you're making, Jables. I think you're right, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, so. And that's absolutely fair. Because like I said, I didn't hate it. I'm not like sat there cynically. I don't think I'm cynically going, oh, this was rubbish. I just think what they attempted was there, but it feels like a missed opportunity of what could have actually been something quite fun, funny, scary and original. Mm. And it just felt flat on all of those points.
Yeah.
You know, it felt a bit like someone had an idea and instead of anyone developing, I've got this idea, it's an imaginary friend, Bear, and she's coming past and someone just went, great, go and make it. And they went, oh, cheers. Instead of going, yeah, can someone give me a hand though, just to make it really good together? Because it felt like everyone who was in the film was actually giving it a good go.
Yeah.
Like everyone was quite good in it.
Yeah. I liked them and I cared about them, like I said I wanted to. I liked the kids, the two kids. They played well together and they played well with the Jessica character, who I think held it together. You know, she was a good leading lady. I think she was
quite good, actually. Yeah. And it had some odd bits with the... I quite liked the bit with the psychologist woman that pops in. Yeah. That's when you get part of a reveal. But also, actually, what leads up to that reveal is actually... You kind of know what's going to happen, but you quite like it when it happens.
Yeah, it's quite tense, isn't it?
They didn't rush that part.
No.
Which I think was what made that part good. But there's other bits where they just kind of rushed into it. And then other bits that were... Like the music box... part was okay with this light box, but then it didn't really
mean anything. Really.
It didn't mean anything.
Just a device, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if it's spoilers or such, but when you see... Okay, how can I do it in not spoilers? When you get later down the line and you see a more developed version of Chauncey, it's just a little bit rubbish.
I know, but I quite like that.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I bet you did as well.
Yeah.
The thing about... Because I was in two minds about that, and I think it's often the case... It ended up for me being quite cute and funny in the way they did it. And I don't know if that was intentional. I think maybe it was a little bit.
Maybe.
But I think it's always an issue with these things when they build up this idea of like some entity that's there in the background.
Yeah.
And the things that you're actually seeing are representations of it that you can understand. And then what they're going to eventually show you is what's really behind
really
it.
Really happened, yeah.
You know, it's like It, isn't it?
Yes.
For example, like
giant spider
miniseries. Oh, it's a giant sort of crabby spider thing.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to do that well.
Yeah,
I think it's almost impossible.
I think that's fair. I do think that's fair. I just think in this case, I can honestly say that the tiny teddy bear was more creepy and could have been used better at that point than what we saw, let's say.
Maybe, because I suppose the best horror films are the films like The Shining, where you don't actually see what's behind everything, do you?
Yeah.
And once you see that giant spider or you see the real Chauncey, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I haven't really got much else to add. I don't want it to sound like it's harsh. I think if you like Blumhouse horror films, if you like these, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't scared at any point. If you like the easy kind of easy watching horror films, which these often are, you'll probably enjoy it.
I would put it on a par with something like, do you remember the film Smile that we went to see?
Yeah.
It was like that. There were a few creepy bits in that. Do you remember the bit where she's on the phone in the house?
Yeah.
And the voice on the phone says, are you on your own in the house? And she says, yes. And the voice goes, are you sure?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that was creepy. You know, it's not like, oh my God, but it is like, oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of bits like that in this, like the bit with the psychologist.
Yeah.
You could watch it on, I mean, I could watch it by myself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
it was a nice bit, nice chill to it. Yeah.
Ben, car rating?
Okay, car rating. Been a bit of a struggle this one, but I'm going to go with a Mark II Hyundai Coupe out of Cars Out of Films. Yeah.
That's kind of a bit of a hidden gem, Ben. Was it the Mark I that's the good one?
The Mark I. I actually don't know much about them.
Okay.
So it's like, well, it's supposed to be a sports car, but it isn't really, but it kind of looks okay from a distance, but when you get up close, it's got a few weird bits that don't quite add up.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
As ever.
See, my pithy one was just like, my rating is, I imagine I was watching something slightly better. But I think I just wrote that because it seemed like something pithy and fun to say with imagining in.
So it'd be fair to say you were a little bearish on this film.
I was. But it did give me pause for thought then.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You took a chance. Nah, it doesn't work.
I like it. I like it. Our kids, you got a rating or are you
I don't really. No, just like I said, I'd put it on a par with something like Smile. I don't think it was as good as Mithrigan.
No.
I think that was just sort of, so it's somewhere between those two films.
More
I'd
like a
Mithrigan
then. Or a McGorf. No, don't even try and say anything. Yeah.
No.
Trailers. We did get a couple of trailers, didn't we?
We did.
Abigail and Tarot.
So Abigail, I can't remember if we actually spoke about that before.
No, because I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, did you not? I've seen that trailer before.
Nothing to do with Abigail's party, is it?
No.
No.
Demis Roussos.
It's a vampire ballerina. And I can almost imagine that someone said, what about a vampire ballerina? Okay, let's write a story around that.
Yeah.
That's what it felt
you
like.
Go.
A little bit. Yeah, exactly.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It kind of looked okay. I think I said to you, I'll probably watch it. And you said, yeah, but not in the cinema.
No,
right?
Exactly. See, that is one where it looks like it's going to be the silly horror comedy slightly rubbish, you know what's happening. It's not going to be anything serious or just like.
So what
dumb,
was the premise?
Fun.
It was some people who've been brought to this house under the pretense of guarding a young girl. Or a
yeah, holding
girl.
Someone to ransom or something.
And then it turns out that they're a vampire.
They're getting
spoilers to spoil.
No, they're actually getting locked in there with her, and I guess she's going to be hunting them. It's when the hunters become the hunted or some crap like that.
Yeah.
Probably.
I thought it looked quite fun.
It looked, yeah.
I thought it looked okay. From, I liked the imagery of the ballet and the blood and that. Yeah. It looked kind of cool. Yeah.
And the other one was Tarot.
Tarot. It did look bad.
It kind of did. Again, it was one of those ones where you stopped showing us everything in the trailer.
Right? It was everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that sort of misses those times where the trailer had a voiceover of someone telling you what was happening.
This season.
What
might happen.
Rather than actually just showing you all the imagery from it. Yeah.
No. There was no mystery there, was there?
No.
What did you think of Tarot?
I think it looks okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll probably watch it.
Ben's feeling very generous tonight,
yeah.
I think.
I am.
He's still on a June buzz, isn't he?
Yeah.
He can hear it in the cinema. That's all it is.
Here watching June.
Yeah, yeah. Well, next week we are going to be watching. Am I right in saying it'll be?
I don't know if you're right in saying.
You're not.
What?
The Ghostbusters film isn't out until the 22nd, which is the week after.
Yeah. Oh, son of a nutcracker.
So even worse, Jables, it's like a desert. Not in a June sense. It's a desert in terms of films next week.
Oh, really?
The only thing I can offer you is something called Drive Away Dolls.
Okay, that sounds like more like something you'd watch on Netflix, actually.
On your own.
Okay, I'll read you the little write-up. So, Jamie regrets her breakup with her girlfriend while Marion needs to relax. In search of a fresh start, they embark on an unexpected road trip to Tallahassee. Things quickly go awry when they cross paths with a group of inept criminals.
Right. It just means nothing to me. Yeah.
So it's a breakup road heist.
Yeah.
So it might be a streaming next
week.
Maybe streaming. We'll see what's on the Corn Exchange as well. Well, I guess if you've got ideas out there in worldy world, don't know what to call it, the unimaginary space.
The ever never.
The never ever.
I kind of like worldy world.
The worldy world.
It reminds me of something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you give us a shout on the socials, which are...
At Just So Jables, Instagram, Facebook, X.
Oh, I think I said Twitter earlier, didn't
I? No one cares. No.
Ping
us an email, hello@justsojables.com.
Sorry, I thought you said penis and email.
Penis and
email. I genuinely thought you said penis.
Yeah. Dick
is an email.
And let us know what you think we should watch next week. With that... I'm going to Foxtrot Oscar.
Bit of a balls up, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a bit of a balls up at the end.
See you later.
Bye.
Just So Jables.